you a quick little video, and we'll move on. Clap for that. Honestly, I'm embarrassed that we have to show a video to teach everybody what to bring to a tailgate, being Wisconsinites and all. But I am looking forward to this because it's just going to flat out be fun. So I'm encouraging you to be a part of it. Our service will be outside next Sunday underneath what's that thing called carport. Is where the worship team will be and the speaker will be, and then we will be out there in our tents and our camp, whatever our campsite looks like. But there should be grills going on. So I'm hoping to see you all there. You can bring somebody to this event as well. This is a great way to tell them what church, what we're like all the time. It's your one permission to tell a little fib. All right. At this time, with the parents of the children that are going to be dedicated, come on up. Stand right there with your grandson. Isn't that precious? Yep. My family comes up together. Good thing we're not doing baptisms today, because I don't know if we get them all in that tub. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, "And Hannah bore a son and called his name Samuel. And she brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli and said, 'For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition. Therefore, I have granted him to the Lord as long as he lives.' And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, 'Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he'll not depart from it.' Dedication is a happy and significant occasion. Like Mary and Hannah of old, these parents have brought their children today to present them to the Lord. You have heard the invitation of the Master, which says, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven.' Parents, it is right that you should bring your children to dedicate them to the Lord. The reality of these new lives has brought you to stand reverently and thoughtfully before the Father of all life and has given you a message of dignity of life and the responsibility of parenthood. The purpose of this time is to help you as parents appreciate your responsibility and the privilege to train your children in the nature and the admonition of the Lord, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that when they shall come to the age of responsibility, they will most naturally turn from the wrong to the right and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words I command, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to turn to your children and shall talk to them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down. and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And I know many of the mothers here put scripture verses up all over the home, whether they're plaqued, whether they're written, whether they're markered, whatever it is. I know the women of this church do that kind of a thing. So what does this all mean today? It means that God has a purpose for your child. That purpose is to find and to live out fully a successful and meaningful life in Christ. It is your privilege and duty to guide your children in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition in their lives. That's what training up a child in the way that they should go is. And it's a great responsibility, one that we don't take lightly. Parents, after I repeat the statement, just answer with "I do." To this task, I am asking you to dedicate your child to God in accordance with the purpose for which you have come. So I'm asking you to respond. Will you do this? You do. And it's "we do." Okay. Do you present now your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct your child in the teachings of Jesus and in the practice of prayer and guide them in the development of Christ-like character? Do you promise to try your best, the best of your ability, to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotions, by your words, and by your example, that they will, at the proper age, most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of service in the church? So at this time, Mark Schuyler, Trevor, and Elizabeth Masupi, we thank God that you've made the stand that you've made this day. We thank you for the precious lives that you're dedicating to Christ. And it's at this time that we dedicate Aaron Miles Masupi and Caden Robert Schuyler to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, congregation, there's always a question for the congregation. We just got done speaking about signups for Awana. We got done speaking about signups for what happens in the back on Sundays, about raising your children in the way that they should go. We challenge you to be a part of this effort in raising up these children by speaking life and speaking truth to them at whatever opportunity you have. Speaking life and truth by working in those environments in the back and on Wednesday nights. Do you promise to do your best with where you're at in this church to speak life to these children? You answer, "I do," or "we do." We do. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father God, it is now that we consecrate these children to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You will receive the certification for what was done this day, but I congratulate you for the role you're doing. Good job.
Love you.
I'm going to shake your dad's hand first. Thank you, Trevor. Good job, buddy. It's a first. You guys are dismissed to head back to your seats.
Well, let's give them one more hand clap as they leave. Yeah. That is so awesome. I'm so proud of you guys. So beautiful to see children being dedicated to the Lord, right? All right. Well, we're going to move into some worship this morning. So if you are able, you can stand. If you don't want to stand, you don't have to. But it's what we do when we get into our worship time. And sometimes you'll see people raising their hands. Sometimes people will clap. It's just a way of showing worship to the Lord in any way that you want to. So join in with us.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
Sing worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Sing we live.
We live for you.
Jesus the name.
Jesus the name above every other name. Jesus the only one ever save.
Lord, you're worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Holy.
Holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
We sing Jesus the name.
Jesus the name above every other name.
Yes, you are, Lord. Jesus.
Jesus, the only one who could ever say.
Lord, you're worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Jesus, fill this place this morning. We worship you.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Oh, your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, fill this room this morning.
Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free
and my shame
is undone.
Only in your presence, God.
Your presence. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Let's say that again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Ooh. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Hallelujah, let's sing about it. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
I'm forgiven because you forsaken.
Sing it, Jill.
And I'm accepted, and you were condemned.
I'm alive.
And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love. Die. joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
You are my King.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus, you.
Thank you, Lord.
Are my
who are sensitive, I believe you know that the Spirit is moving in a very sweet way. It's like a balm. And God wants to heal with that balm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the altars. Come forward and step into it. Step into the balm. Step into the presence of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to just feel for the sake of feeling. We want to step into what we feel when we know it's the Holy Spirit, because I believe he wants to bless you in a different kind of way. So come on forward and just receive the fullness of what he's going to give to you. And you, it's going to be different from one to another. But soak in it for a while. We don't get to soak enough. So come on up here and soak in this for a little while. Jesus.
Flow, rain.
Just begin to pray right where you're at. It can be soft, but just ask for the presence of God to fill you if that's what you desire. Ask Him to come in. Ask Him to heal. Ask Him to touch you in ways that you need to respond to what He's doing in you. To respond. Just right where you're at. Just begin to pray. Yes. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Yes. Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, begin to do the work that you came to do. We pray first for the heart, that you touch the hearts of each of us. Let the people call out to say, God, come to my heart. Touch my heart. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray next for the mind, that you would come to the mind. Lord, we ask that you make our minds right before you. Touch first our hearts and then our mind. Jesus, by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, touch my mind. Let my mind be transformed. Transform my mind. Renew it. In Jesus' name. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, what you do, you move it from our mind, from our heart to our mind, to our feet, and to our hands. Let us move to where you want us to move and go where you want us to go, to reach out to who you want us to reach out to. We dedicate babies, but now we're the example to the babies. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, do this. Now, Father, in the body, those bodies which are broken, we ask that you mend them, repair them, bring them back to your order, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Jesus. Jesus. If any gets a word from the Lord, I just want you to raise your hand high if you get a word from God. So just listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. What is the Spirit speaking to you? For this church, for the church, what's He speaking to you? When you get a word, raise your hand and I'll call on some. Gerald. Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The reign of His presence is coming. The reign of the Holy Spirit is coming. He is coming. Prepare yourself. He is coming. Jesus. Bonnie. Jesus, is anything too big for Him, for God? Take heart, He has overcome all things. For those carrying deep anxiety, for those carrying deep hurts and wounds, for those carrying deep addictions, He's overcome all that. He's overcome all of it. Call out to Him. Let Him meet you right where you're at. That's where He loves to go, is right where you're at. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Miss Summers, our dean.
I will restore your soul, your mind. You cannot rely on your mind things. I will transform your mind if you meet me there in my word. I desire genuine relationship with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will restore your soul.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. He will restore your soul. He will meet you where you're at. He will help you to overcome. Holy Spirit. He will lift you up. He will raise you up if you let him. He will train you up. He does the work. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I want you to just look inwardly, and this is so important to do. A lot of us, we want to give a word to the church, but God wants to speak to you. So listen to what the Spirit says to you, and it's for you. And we'll just, they'll do another song, and then we can just be up here and just soak in that and hear from him. Why is he speaking these words to you today? Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that for the remainder of this service, Lord, you have your way as you're doing now, that you continue to speak to us throughout the remainder of this service, that we grab onto the truth of your word and we hang tight to the love that you have for us, and we stay in that perfect balance that you have called us to with truth and love. Oh, Holy Spirit, do what you do. I pray that healings continue to take place throughout the rest of this service. And it be so inward, rooting out that which needs to be rooted out. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us to a place of soaking. And it's just a scratch on the surface. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Pray these things now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. You may go back to your seats and we'll get started. Matt Mandich, it's good to see you up here. I know you had a run-in with a truck and here you are. You fought the truck and you won. Throughout the week, if you get an opportunity to put music on that allows you to go to this place of soaking, I want to encourage you to do it. Go to that place and allow the Spirit of God, spend time in the Spirit and allow Him to do the work in you that He desires to do. Cleansing, healing, restoring, edifying, building us up. Go to that place. And it won't be foreign when you come in on a Sunday. You'll come in ready to go because you'll desire it. We're reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. And we're just going to allow you to just have a seat today and drink it in. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation, good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish in you every good word and work. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you do what you do by your Spirit, and help us to be receptive to all that you're doing. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good morning. Again, it is good to see the faces of the believers in the church. It is good to see the faces of the unbelievers in the church, for that's where they should be. Come into the church, right? So you all unbelievers out there, if there are any, listen up. We'll talk to you about deception and lies maybe a little bit today, but welcome. Before I even get into the message, this is a message that was written to the Thessalonians. I can't say the word. Nah, you couldn't say it any better than me. The Thessalonians, right? It was written to them because they were afraid that Jesus had already come back. So I want to pray for the Jews, Because I want us to be really clear that these letters are for the Jew first. And this particular letter is very much for the Jews because it was the Jews who were fearing that he had already come back, those who knew Christ. So right now in Jesus' name, we pray for Israel. Lord Jesus, save your children, Israel. We pray in your name. Our heart goes out to our allies, our brothers and sisters who know who you are. And those who don't know who you are, Lord, we pray for their salvation. So we pray for the salvation of Israel, Father, that they come to know you for the apple of your eye. And Lord, let us not refrain in our private time from praying for Israel, but let us remember to always do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What if I said to you, hey, y'all missed it. You must have been sleeping. Your oil lamps weren't full. Jesus came at night like a thief, and he took his church, those who were ready and prepared, with him, and y'all missed it. What would happen if that message came out across all media sources and we heard that message? I believe it would cause such a stir in the church. The world wouldn't care. They don't believe it anyway. But it would cause a stir in the church. Because sometimes we jump very quickly and we respond to the things that come at us out of our flesh, instead of being well-read and well-studied in the things of God and the scriptures that he's given us to study, that some of us wouldn't know. That's scary. We should know. We should know that he has not come back at the second coming. But if we're not in scripture and we're not studying the word of God, we can't know. We're on a guess. We're on a hunch. We're going to figure this out with our feelings. Well, I can feel his presence. He's still here. I don't feel his presence anymore. Oh, no. But you can know by knowing the word of God. In this particular case to this letter, Paul is making sure that the Thessalonians know that he did not come yet. In verse 2, it says, not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. The deceiver would want you to think that he's already come. Why? Because it defeats us. We feel defeated. He already came and he didn't call me. He didn't bring me up with the church. I blew it. Oh, woe is me. Know the scriptures. Let no one deceive you, verse 3 says, by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The falling away, what is the falling away? The falling away from the faith. Many, many, many believe, but does their belief take them to faith? What a question to ask. Does your belief take you to faith? We know, we said last week, that the demons believe God exists. They're not going to heaven. Does it lead them to faith? Do they operate by faith? Not the demons, I'm talking about people. Do you operate by faith in everything you do? Do you come to the altar because you trust that God is going to do something? Maybe not what you're wanting or what you're expecting, but what he's gonna do something. Do you believe that? Do you have faith that he can do that? Many will say, I believe he can do that, but he ain't gonna do it to me. He's never done it to me before. So your belief in this case does not lead to faith. What builds faith? Is it seeing great things? It helps. But no, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's where it comes from. I got a call from a brother yesterday, just get me excited about today. And the call was just by the person that called me, it was uplifting and building up, and I thank you for that call. Just urged my welled up my faith a little bit. What a beautiful thing. Coming to the altar, like we did in this worship time, could do something for your faith. Most of what we sing has the word of God all over it. What a beautiful thing, getting that word of God in us. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. People will be deceived. And the church can be deceived. Why? Because the church isn't functioning as the church ought to function. We're on half speed. We're on lukewarm mode as a church. Now, I'm not calling out individuals here. I am saying this is the church. I was listening to something yesterday, and something welled up within me, and I don't even know what it was. I just know that as I was listening to this pastor out of Texas, who has a great big monster church, struggling with the fact that his church has been reduced down 50%. And what he gets on a regular basis is pastors talking to him, calling him, you know, that are in his area, saying, what's going on? What's going on? Our church is doing this. Our church is doing that. And people begin to look at the numbers of people. And to me, there's a picture there. I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but there is a picture there of a falling away of sorts. Sometimes falling away is just convenient. My convenience is I don't have to be there every Sunday. My convenience is I don't have to pray every week. My convenience is I really don't have time to spend any time with God. And when we do that, we begin to slip away. It's my contention that maybe you were never one of us. You were with us, but you weren't one of us. You were playing a game, or you had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. Because if you understand the power of God, you don't walk away from that. In fact, you do just the opposite. You come to it and say, God, my life is a wreck. Do this in me. My life is a wreck. Help my son or my daughter or my grandchildren or my in-laws. Or help them. We go to him because we know the power that he has. But if we don't believe really that he has power, he becomes an afterthought. And then we become susceptible to stinking thinking. And we think of the nonsense of the world. Something struck me this week, and it still bothers me today, when I heard a list of those influential people in the church who have fallen away and discounted Christ, discounted God. I could start crying right now just thinking about the reality of that decision to walk away from God because they didn't fit some social justice expectation, or the church isn't following the social justice guidelines of the day, or some nonsensical thing that wants to lighten the truth of who God is, and the church somehow taints their perception of what should be, so they walk away. I mean, we're talking about pastors, and we're talking about evangelists, and we're talking about worship musicians, and we're talking about theologians that have walked away. How does that happen? I think it happens because we're deceived, and we're able to be deceived because we don't keep our eyes fixed on the standard. If we take our eyes off the standard, which is Christ, we're open to deception. If you turn your eyes to the left or to the right and not on the standard as the focus, you're open to deception. If you listen to the stinking thinking of the world, you're putting yourself in a place of potential, what's the word? Deception. But if you know the word, you can measure every one of those things up against the word of God. You measure it against the word, and it's a tell for you. It helps. Some people are leaving because they think it's too harsh. I know about this a little bit. It's too harsh a message. And what about these people or these people or these people? We can't do that to them, them, and them. God forgive the one that is worried about these people, and these people, and their feelings. Because what you do is you go to their feelings and you deny giving them the truth that needs to be spoken. I had a brother come up to me today. May God bless him, because he had the courage to say about a struggle. God bless him, because now he can begin to work at it. And he'll do it with brothers in Christ. And he'll do it by the word of God, because that's what's going to speak to him. Know the truth. All of us, we need to know the truth. None of this is new. This was prophesied in the book of Daniel. In Daniel 7:25, it says, he shall speak, this is not God. It's the start of a sentence. That's why the H is capitalized. This is not God. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and he shall intend to change the times and the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and a time and a half a time. That comes out to 3.5 years, I believe. In Daniel 8:25, it says, through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. He shall be broken without human means. There's a consequence to him. And that's the enemy of our soul. And it's his false prophet, and it's his antichrist. And it is Satan himself will all be destroyed. Do not fall into their temptations, but their deceptions. Temptation is one thing. Temptation leads to a sin. A sin unconfessed, unrepented of, leads to death eventually. But deception changes your heart and your mind. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived is a message all over the New Testament. Don't be deceived. Deception comes in pretty colors, in pretty voices, in popular people. Deception is out there. Do not be deceived. Well, how do you know? You measure it against the Word of God. Well, how do you do that? Well, you know the Word of God. We have to get to know the Word of God. We get excited about hamburgers and brats on grills in the parking lot and having a message out there and worship out there, which is, by the way, going to be a blast. Can't wait. Forgot what I was going to say. I said brat and I lost it all. Sally, what was I going to say? That could be. That could be. That's a good shot. I can get excited for that, but really getting excited about the scripture is sometimes really hard. You know why? It's hard to prime the pump and get started. It is hard to get started in reading the Word of God. So I suggest you start a little at a time. Create a routine, because a little at a time leads to more at a time. But begin somewhere. I'm all excited because life groups are going. And I know what happens in a life group. Mike, you know what happens in a life group. People grow in the Word. Pat knows what's going on in life groups. Sally knows. Jill, you know. Life groups are a blast. Why? Because you conquer something you didn't think you could conquer. That I could actually grow and study the Word and get something out of it and experience it coming alive within me. That's what our life group talked about last week. It was living and active, and it comes alive within us. Then we got some men that are taking it to the next level, and they're going through the Bible in a year, doing 5 hear journals a year, digging in the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for people that want to go deeper. I have people that I can go to because they're in the Word, and they're growing in the Word. They can speak life to me. That's what my brother did yesterday. He spoke life to me. And I want to hear what he's saying, because you know what? He dwells in the Word of God. Do not be deceived. What is this all about? This is about whether Christ had already come. What are they talking about? 1 Thessalonians 4:15 says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain, shall be caught up together to meet with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I don't want to miss that. I understand their fear and their concern. But their fear and concern came about because they didn't know the Word. Well, you know what? It's pretty hard for them to know the Word because they didn't have the full Word yet. They didn't have the full Word. They had the Old Testament and the prophets, and they had bits and pieces of things that were scribed, but up until this point, they didn't have it. We're blessed. We have it. And we can look to it. And so it's very important for Paul to speak to them. No, these things haven't happened yet. No, don't be deceived. Don't get discouraged. Verse 4 says, this enemy who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, his little prophetic word about what this false God's going to do and where he's going to sit and how we're going to know it's him. That hasn't happened yet. So God hasn't called his church yet because that hasn't happened yet. That has to happen. It has to happen. And the great falling away is going to happen. The great falling away hasn't happened yet. Are people falling away? Yeah, but people are coming too. And they're coming in great numbers. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has begun to take action and speak to their hearts and dreams and visions. And speaking the name of Jesus to them in their dreams and visions. And they're coming to him. And they're coming to him big. And when I heard about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was through the mouth of man. And you know what? It carried every bit the same power. It changed my life. He came in. I received it. I was crying like a school child, which you all see me do a lot. Weeping with my hands lifted up. And I said, I would never do that. Too proud. And he began to shatter my pride right before me. I might as well have been standing back there naked because my pride was gone. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you, Jesus. What's this about the lawless one? In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. What is this about lawless? Lawless has been going on since Genesis chapter 3. Since the fall in the garden when Adam and Eve took bite of the apple, went against the law of God not to touch this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and they chose to take from it, lawlessness has been in play ever since then. It's always been around. But it's not to be feared. It's to be avoided. You avoid lawlessness. Take a self-check right now. How do you respond to the authorities that are above you? I'm probably around a C+, B-. I've had days where I'm an A. Days where I've been a D-. Where are you on your lawlessness chart? Do you follow the rules of our society that are put there by the authority above us? Or do you eradicate them away saying, no, I don't have to do that because I believe this? Well, if it's not about something that Christ has said very specifically about you, like I'm going to go to taxes for a second. You pay your taxes. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Do what the government is asking of you. What standard do they set? You have to do it unless it goes against directly the word of God. I can't speak for you all. I can speak for me. I am great at rationalizing. I can spin things so that I can say that they're going against the word of God, so I'm going to do this. If you want some tips on how to do that, I can show you. I'm pretty good at it. But believe me, you don't want to hear what I have to say about it. No. When you can, and it doesn't go against the word of God, do what they say. God has put that in place. And by the way, he's put it in place for our protection. Now, are they crazy and perfect? Yeah. Do they got it all figured out? No. But we follow it as long as we can until it goes directly against what God is saying. And it's a tough battle. I understand it because I struggle with it all the time. And if I'm alone and nobody's around, I can just roll my eyes over and over and over again at what's being presented on the media. But if I'm wise, I don't fear that. I turn to the truth. I dwell in the truth. I be moved by the Spirit of God. I let him talk to me. I let him, and he takes that anger and that frustration and that judgment and all that stuff that's in me away. He'll do that for you too. And it says, until he, the lawless one, is taken away. For the mystery of the lawless is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I'm sorry, let me get that right. Right now, there's a restrainer. And the restrainer is the Holy Spirit, restraining from the lawless one to having a field day with his world. He's restraining for a time. And then he'll be taken out of the way. I want to be clear about this, taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He never leaves anywhere. He's always there. But he's just working a little differently. And he steps to the side and he allows the course of action that's going to take place in the world. That's what happens. He never leaves. Why? Because there's still work for him to do, for one, but two, he's omnipresent. He's all places, all times. What's he going to do? Well, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, who are going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of sharing the gospel, that the Jew would come to Christ, that the full measure of the Jews will come to Christ. We get ethnocentric or country-centric or whatever it is. We get thinking about us and it's all revolving around the United States. No, it's not. Everything revolves around the Jew. What is happening in Israel? What is happening with the Jew? God is setting up the Jew for the Jew, and wrath for the Jews that don't follow him, and wrath for the people that don't follow him, the Gentiles. And that's what's the stage is being set for all of this. Well, how do you know that? Because I read the Bible. I really do. And I listen to others who read the Bible. Teachers, educators, who are in the Word of God. And I'm going to be reading a whole lot more about it because it's fascinating. The end times events that are going to happen are incredibly fascinating. And it's so much fun to read when you're on the winning side of it all. You've heard me say in the past that, man, these last days, I want to be a part of the last days. Man, I want to be there. I want to be fighting the good fight. Well, how about the before the last days? Did I ask anybody to church? Did I share the gospel with anybody? When things were easy going and pretty cool? And now I think I'm going to be in the last days and I'm going to do it all right then and there? I'm a nut. No, God forgive me. And by the way, that conviction is really on me right now. I'm sharing it all the time now. Because it was revealed to me. If you're not doing it now, you're not going to be doing it in the last days. All of a sudden, death sounds pretty good. God, take me now. I'm only 62. God, take me now. I don't want to face that. You know what? That's probably a pretty decent prayer if God's taking you. But there is something exciting about the days we live in. Can't fear them, though. Don't fear the days we live in. Thank you, Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Oh, my goodness. The power of God is so incredibly immense and great, we can't comprehend it. And this devil who is loud, I mean, he is loud, is speaking nonsense to our heads all the time, and we're deflecting and defending and just getting overwhelmed by it. But he is nothing but a pawn in the hands of a sovereign God. That puppet will be diminished by what? By the breath of his mouth and by the brightness of his coming. Put the two together and see what you get. The breath of his mouth, that same breath that spoke creation into existence, the same breath that breathed life into Adam, the same breath that caused the disciples to be lost fishermen to saved warriors that become 12 pillars and foundations of the church. And it's the same breath that spoke and said his name I am, and the soldiers fell. That's the breath of the Word of God. When he speaks, they're slain. You know God's coming back, and he's coming back with his bride. And when he comes back with his bride, you know what we are in that? We're lucky spectators to get to be the part of the greatest show of time. What do we do? Do we have swords? We got nothing but white robes, which means we've been forgiven and we've been saved. That's all we have. My forgiveness and my salvation in God. Oh, by the way, I got the power of the Holy Spirit in me. That's so I can steer the horse. No, God steers the horse. And what's going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon? God is going to speak by the breath of his mouth, and it is done. Just like when he spoke this world and the universe into existence. It was by the word of his mouth, and it's the same power he's going to use to defeat the enemy. Why? Because he's but a bug. The enemy is but a bug on the cosmic scale compared to our God. Our God. Well, I don't know, because they think they're not giving food to the hungry. Therefore, I'm going to leave the church. They're an idiot. I'm just telling you, they're an idiot. They're making the dumbest decision of their life, because that decision lasts forever. Do not be deceived by the nonsense that the world peddles at you. It looks good. It looks shiny. It makes me want to have a bite of it. Do not be deceived. Know the truth. It's not what it appears to be. We have to be wise to that. That's the message to me. That's the whole message. That we can't walk in ignorance and flutter away, because many will fall away. And God desperately, desperately loves you. Next thing I want to just throw out there, I'm going to throw you myself out there for, this is what I think. I always go to, what about what I want? What about the things I want to do? What about me having a little bit so I can live comfortable in life? What about me? What about my position? What about how people receive me or not? What about that? Forget that. It's never about me. It can't be about me. From my perspective, God forgive me if I make it about me. It has to be about him. And it has to be about what he is doing. It has to be about Christ. It all has to be about him. And you know what he does? He will make it about you. He will make it about you, but he will make it about you rightly. Get that? He'll make it about you rightly. And it will be beautiful, and it will be perfect. And it will not steal or kill or destroy from you. The pretty stuff. The ornate stuff, that sounds right. The stuff that gets to our senses usually leads to death. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm talking of spiritual things. It leads to death. Next little deceptive thing is, there is nothing new under the sun. It was one of the first lessons I learned in this church. And I think I heard it from every pastor that was here from the beginning to where we're at now. There is nothing new. So we don't need to jump and race to the new thing that's out there. Look, he's over there. Run, he's over there. Go to Toronto, you can laugh a lot. Go to Brownsville. Thousands and billions of people are coming over there. Go to Azusa. No, don't go there. Go to your knees, talk to God, and say, God, show me. God, tell me. Go to your prayer room and pull out your word, your sword. And say, God, reveal to me. Every time I read it, it's so hard, and sometimes I don't get it. So I say, God, help me to get it. Put the right people in my life to help me get it. And we make it about him, and he'll make it about us. Last thing. This isn't the last thing. I'm going to keep going. People of the older generation, do not give up. You have a mission that God has put in your hands, and your mission is for your family first. I had a brother tell me that very recently, and it spoke to me. The mission is about your children, and the mission is about your grandchildren. And when your children don't get it because they're off in some rebellious place, you got the grandchildren. That's your mission. Never give up on your children. Help them, teach them, correct them. Parents of the generation below my generation, get to work. Your mission are your children. Your mission are your kids. Grow your kids. Train them in the way, everything we did here this morning before the service, don't give up on your kids. Pastor Mike, you don't know, they're lost. They don't do this, or they do all this, and they do. I know they do. I know they do. I see it all the time, and none of us get to escape it. Are you praying for them? I pray for them, and it feels like nothing's happened. That's okay. You don't have to feel anything. Keep praying for them. There's a job to do, and it's raising them up. It's praying for them to get right with God. but you don't know what they did. They betrayed us. They betrayed the family. I don't care. Don't give up praying for your kids. And by the way, when it's all going well, kids are doing great, you better get on your knees and pray because it's coming. It's coming. They're just sneakier than the other ones. You haven't caught them yet. I remember my oldest son. This is back in the day of cassette tapes. And there was some music that I just didn't let him listen to. There was a big move about the bad music. If you play it backwards, upside down, it's going to say, you know, bad things. Okay? And I was all into that, and I was really strong about it. Kids, you don't listen to this, you don't listen to this. And I get in my car, and I let my son drive the car in. And I had these little white cassette tapes. You know, you can make them and create them, whatever. And there's the worship tapes I had in there. And I'd go in there, and I'd put one in, and I'd wear it out, and I'd go look for another one. I grabbed one time, and all of a sudden, there's Eminem and 9 Mile and 8 Mile or whatever it is. I got all this hard, hard stuff that I told. My son taped over it, left the worship on there. You know what he was? He was just a heck of a lot smarter than I was. And then we had a reckoning. He had to walk or ride his bike. He didn't get to use the car. Oh, but the battle rages on, and we don't give up. We don't give up. That's a challenge for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the blindness that we seem to come against. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness. He is a copycat. And there's a lot of things that the enemy does that God did. And he tries to parallel things like God did. And it leads and adds to the deception. So when I looked at this, and I think I got this from David Guzik. You can go to David Guzik. He's a pretty good commentator. A couple things happen. Know that the man of sin is a counterfeit. Both Jesus and the man of sin have a coming. Both Jesus and the man of sin are revealed. Both Jesus and the man of sin have a gospel. Both Jesus and the man of sin say that they alone should be worshipped. Both Jesus and the man of sin have support for their claims by miraculous works. Supernatural beings can affect natural things, basically, is what that is. The man of sin is Satan, is false prophet, and he's a false copy of the Messiah. He tries to mock the Messiah by copying the Messiah to deceive the people. In the end, the man of sin can only show himself that he is God, because he's not God. He's deluded himself. In the end, the man of sin can only show himself that he's not God. The coming of Jesus and the judgment of God will make it clear that the man of sin is not God at all. And we'll see that in the right day. So my word to all is to, one, not be deceived. Stand firm in your faith, but don't be satisfied where you're at in your faith. Grow in your faith. Grow in your understanding of who God is. We are no match for the enemy of our soul. We are no match in our own strength and power. But when you begin to read the word, if you begin to see how God is with you, he is for you. We sing that song in here. It lights me up. He is for you. 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 And if he be for me, who can be against me? He is for us. But we have to know that he is for us, and we have to know to what degree he is for us. He is for us until the nth degree, until we are with him in eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Stand fast. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved brethren, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and by belief in the truth. That's his work right now, is sanctifying his bride. In Ephesians 5, he sanctifies by the washing of the water of the word. That's what the husband's supposed to be doing for the bride. I told you a couple weeks ago, read the scripture with your wife. Wash her with the washing of water with the word. That's what he is doing right now with the church. He's washing his bride. He's cleansing his bride. He's sanctifying his bride because he's setting her apart, us apart from the world, from the deceiver, from the deception that's out there. That's what he's doing. How does he do it? To which he's called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. And once again, a simple dedication service is a big deal. We hold to it. In Moses' day, it was a big deal, so he reads from Deuteronomy. And he tells the parents how to raise their children. Don't deviate from it. Stick to it. Stick to the plan for your family. Stick to the plan for yourself. And you will not be deceived in that last day. Lord Jesus, help us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, we didn't deserve it, comfort your hearts and establish in you every good work. And that every good work is about getting busy in the kingdom. I said earlier that I wanted to be here in the last days. You know why? Because I read a couple of books. I read the Left Behind series. I wanted to be the guy that flew the airplane. I wanted to be the reporter that investigated all the satanic things and would catch them. Once again, I was a very happy idiot because those things are cool. And I still love them to this day. I'll still read those books, but they don't define my faith. It's the Word of God that defines my faith. And now I know that we are living in the last days. We are living in the last days, and many are unaware that we're living in the last days. We're in the proverbial pot of water that's boiling. We went in when it was lukewarm. We were good, waddling away, and before you know it, we're in a full boil, and we can't do anything about it. But we can. We're not at a full pitch boil. The abomination that causes desolation hasn't sat on the throne in Jerusalem yet. The church has not been raptured yet. The church will be raptured. Jesus is coming back for his bride. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know he's coming. We know the season. And I believe the season, we're living in a season where there's worldwide too many things happening that seem to fulfill Scripture, that do fulfill Scripture. And we have an opportunity in this day that we live to impact change, to affect change. Now, that can mean a whole bunch of things, but the change we're talking about is to impact a world for Christ. Not for my benefit or your benefit, but for Christ. Impact change for him, and it begins in the family. It begins with your brother and your sister. It begins with your son and your daughter. It begins with your grandchildren, and many of you, your great-grandchildren. Impact their lives for the kingdom of God. And you're off to a good job, off to a good place, off to a great start to do what God has called you to do. And do not be deceived. Nothing is done until it's done. The misbehavior doesn't mean they're going to hell. The misbehavior means you need to talk to them. You need to pray for them. And that's what we're called to do. And by the way, when the rapture comes, I expect to see you all there. Because I'm going. Not because of anything I've done. Because I know I know the trumpet blower, and I know I know the one who has all the say. And he's going to blow the trumpet. And it's going to be very clear who goes and who doesn't go. He separates the pretenders from the real. He will not be mocked. So if you're playing on the fence, get off the stinking fence. Get off the fence, man. He's not letting there be a fence anymore, by the way. Over this last year and a half, he's kind of erased the fence. There's the yeses and the noes. There's the sheep and the goats. There's the masked, the unmasked. There's the medicine. There's the non-medicine. There's the political everything. There's the political nothing. He's separating. But what he's really separating are sheep and goats. And just because you're on one side or the other doesn't mean you're done. It means you just come to him. Come to him. Come to him. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And Jill, if you could come up with your team. Jesus is coming back for his bride, the church. Our question is and always has been, are you part of the bride of Christ? Are you his bride? That doesn't mean are you perfect and clean. No. That means that you see Jesus Christ as who he is, as God, as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer. He's not just one of those and a little bit of the other. He's all of those. He is love, and he is grace, and he is holy, and he is truth. All complete. That's who he is. And God, forgive me if I diminish the truth of that for anybody. But he is Savior. And his business right now is building his bride, building the church. He does it by growth and knowing who he is, and he does it by evangelism through you and through me. But he wants you to know him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. For there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And my heart breaks when I listen to those who walk away from the faith out of pure ignorance because they had a surface but they had no foundation. What's my part in the end times in these last days? It's the same thing Pastor Jerry's was. It's the same thing Pastor Jim's was. It's the same thing the next pastor is going to be, was. That the people would hear the truth of the gospel and receive it. And that people would be saved. That is everything. And then once they're saved, that they would be discipled. That's the heart of this church. That they would be discipled. For what end? To what end? One, to be with the Savior, to give him glory. Two, to go out about his work and see that people get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. We always think it's going to happen in here. I think it's going to happen outside the doors when we become an army that leaves. But I want to talk to you about salvation. Are you saved today? What does that mean, saved? Saved from the punishment we deserve is what it means. The punishment we deserve is death. In Romans 6, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Are you saved from death? And it's not just death in your human fleshly body. It is spiritual death. What does that mean? That means the death that keeps you separated from God, eternally, apart from God. It is dark. It is wicked. It is met with weeping and gnashing of teeth. This message I heard just a couple weeks ago should be preached every day about the salvation. And how can you know? You can know by this. Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Give him permission to change and transform your heart. Can you say that Jesus, can you say to him, God, Jesus, take my sin because only you can carry it. I've given him my sin. I still give him my sin. It's a routine now. I feel like sometimes he wants to answer back. Is there anything new? Same old things? Haven't you got past that yet? Have you given him your sin? And then the one that seems to slip the world today, is he Lord of your life? Or are you still seated on the throne of your life? That is the big one. I want forgiveness. That's easy. Yeah, I believe, just like the demons believe, I believe that Jesus is God. But is he Lord in your life? And I believe that's the call to the church today. Is Jesus Lord, or are you still in that place? So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team just for now to close your eyes too. We'll let this really be private. You know that the Spirit of God is speaking to the issue of Jesus being Lord of your life. And I'm going to just give you an opportunity to just slip up your hand. The hand is cool, but it's speaking to a statement that's going on in your heart. If you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and truly give him that position in your heart and life, just slip your hand up real high like mine is right now. Does anybody want to receive it? Yes, sir, I see it. Is there anybody else? Yes, sir, I see it. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, I see it. Yes, sir, I see it. Is there anyone else? Oh, this is unbelievable. This is, yes, sir, I see it. This is real. This is real. This isn't shiny. This is saying, Jesus, you now control my life. Is there anybody else? I'm all goose pimply up here. This is amazing. Can we all pray together? Yes, sir, I see that. Yes, sir. Praise God. He gives me the double fist. He's ready. Yes, sir. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Now I got goosebumps. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anybody else want to receive him? We're going to pray in just 2 seconds here. We're going to pray together as a body of believers. Pray with me, will you? Dear Jesus, Lord Jesus, I give you the place in my life to be Lord. I give up the throne to you. Take my sin and remove it from me. Give me the strength to walk away from sin. And when I sin, take it from me. I give you that permission. Be my Savior. And I know you're my Redeemer. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like is, I know that we play a late game today, so we're okay. Oh, we play tomorrow. Oh, we're going to have a late night. No, I'm kidding. We're going to have just a little bit of worship here at the altar because I think we need to. I think this is a continuation of what happened earlier in the service. And I want to encourage you to come up to soak in the Spirit. I'm going to have, Gerald, if you'd have your team up here just around, you can be up here worshiping, taking it. If you see Gerald or Neil or whoever, just tap them on the shoulder, and they'll turn and pray for you. But we're going to have a time with Christ. So come on up to the altar, and let's just soak in this together. And then I'll pray a prayer of dismissal.
Jeez. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.